Praise the Lord. The month of May has been on the foundations of our faith. And obviously, we cannot finish. So, June will also be Femme Foundations Part 2. Glory, or Season 2. So, we've called it Femme Foundation, and we've been learning a lot. We started with an apologia, answering questions like, is there a God? Can the Bible be trusted? Did Jesus rise? Then we started talking about the gospel. We talked about, we had four teachings on the gospel. This is the gospel essentials part one, the gospel essentials part two, the gospel essentials part three. People who are not, who don't follow midweek services, I don't know how you are doing it. You should know now by now that Newbridge is a school, right? You should know. And just the same way you have a didactic approach to your secular education, you should have the same, and even more, to your spiritual education, because this is your spiritual life and your eternity. All we are learning here will not end here. It will affect you both in this world and in the world to come. Amen. And then today we'll be learning what we've titled Passcode. How is a man saved? I know you may have heard this teaching before or heard something that relates to this before, but you see, conviction is not built by one mention of a thing. It has to be repeated again and again. Amen. So today, passcode. How is a man saved? Acts chapter 16 from verse 25. Father, in the name of Jesus, this world is blessed. And anyone in our midst who is not yet saved, let their hearts be open to the saving power of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16 from verse 25. What was the context here? Or let's read from verse 23. What happened here? So Paul and Silas and some other disciples wanted to preach somewhere in Asia, and the Holy Spirit restrained them and told them that they should go to a city called Macedonia to preach. Are you with me? And they got to Macedonia and cast out a demon from a certain girl. And instead of the people to thank them, the people arrested them and beat them with many stripes. So in verse 23, we see, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such charge, thrust them into the prison and made their feast fast in the stocks. You know, if you study ancient times, the way they treated prisoners, eh? You couldn't even walk around in the prison. Like, in the prison, you were fixed. They will cement your leg to the ground. Interesting folks. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You know, there's so much to learn from this. Something happened. I was with a dear sister yesterday. Her iPhone fell and cracked. The screen guard cracked. The actual screen also cracked, and she was crying. And if it's me before, I was like, your screen, iPhone screen. But with what I've gone through in the past 2 years or 3-4 years, see, nothing is more important than your life. Did you hear what I said? I know iPhone screen is expensive, but thank God that you are alive. I told her, thank God you can still use the screen. At least you can still make call. You can still do video. What if the phone fell and off? You just fell like this and did not come on again. What would you have done? Look at these guys. They were just arrested. And they did not say, God, you know, try you. God, you didn't. This one, you did not do well. They just arrested you. Beat you. The ministry that God sent you to do did not. Even the ministry, how much progress did they see? You prayed for one person that got healed, they arrested you. And now you are in prison. If it's us, maybe we start saying, maybe it's not the will of God. But it was clear in the earlier part of this chapter that God sent them. So for the fact you are going through challenges does not mean you have missed God. For the fact you are going through a tough time does not mean that you are out of the will of God. Are you with me? Sometimes it may be that because you are in the will of God, you are facing what you are facing. And now these guys rose up and began to sing praises to God. And I don't think They were praying and singing because they knew anything was going to happen. Please, are you with me? I don't think they were. Paul and Silas were praising God and praying because they wanted a change. They were just praising and thanking God out of the fact that we are privileged to carry the gospel, to preach the gospel. We are found in God. We are found in Christ. Are you with me? And now they praised and sang, and the prison gates scattered. That's happening to somebody. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were opened. Glory! Glory. Say after me, all doors are opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. Kai, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself because he knew that it's better I kill myself than for these Romans to come and catch me. The way they will kill me, I will do a better job on myself. Suppose he would have killed himself. He was thinking that the prisoners had fled. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, everybody read with me. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I like this man. After he saw that kind of demonstration of power, he told himself, for this kind of power to manifest, that means there is something these people are saying that I should pay attention to. That means the kingdom these people are talking about must be something that I should pay attention to. And he asked one of the most important questions. In fact, the most important. What must I do to be saved? If you were Apostle Paul, what will you tell him? Maybe you will tell him, now you are ready. So, we're going to enroll you in a baptismal class. He will begin 8 weeks of baptismal preparation. Then, you will now go for confirmation and sacraments. And then, we will now check you on 3 years of probation to be sure that you are a serious individual. But for this man to ask this kind of question, he was serious. And they said, everybody, what did they say? Verse 31. And they said, 1, 2, 3, go. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The way you are reading it. Okay, it's too simple for you. Read it again. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Glory. Someone will be asking, what does it mean thou shalt be saved and thy house? In God's mind, if somebody is saved from a family, that person is the doorway to save others. Are you with me? That's why he said, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Praise the Lord. The answer was believe. Tell your neighbor, believe. So are you saying, Pastor, just believe? Yes, just believe. But you see, believing is not just mentally agreeing with something. Because the Bible says in James chapter 2 from verse 19 that the devils and demons believe. James 2 verse 19. He says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So, are the devils or demons saved? No. So, what kind of belief is he talking about when he says, believe in the Lord Jesus? The belief there is not mental assent. To believe in the Lord Jesus, you must understand his message. You must understand who he is. Are you with me? And respond to it with an unqualified committal. Say after me, unqualified committal. You must understand who Jesus is, understand his message, and respond to it with an unqualified committal, meaning you throw yourself at it. That's what it means to believe in this context. It's not just saying, okay, I agree Jesus is the Son of God. I agree Jesus is God. I agree he died for me. No, this is, you don't just agree, but you have committed your heart to it fully. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Acts chapter 10. I want to show you just some other examples in the Bible, New Testament, where people believed and how they responded. Because let me tell you something. If you say you have believed, it will show. It will show. There is a way a person responds when he believes in something. Are you with me? Okay. Acts chapter 10 from verse 36. Now, the context of Acts chapter 10 was that God, by his sovereignty, had shown a man called Cornelius a vision of Peter, the apostle. Are you with me? And Peter, too, has also received a message from God that he should go and preach to a man called Cornelius. So the first time they were meeting, they were not strangers. Are we together? And then Peter got there and began to preach in verse 36. He says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's what I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Read on with me from verse 38. From verse 39, please. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Glory. Verse 41, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Everybody, verse 42, now with a loud voice. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Verse 43, to give him all the prophets, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, everybody, verse 44, what happened? The response to this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So why did the Holy Ghost fall on them? Because they had actually believed. They have actually believed. Let me put it like this. Have you ever used a ladder to climb before? Imagine you were climbing an uncompleted building and they put a ladder there for you to climb. Are you with me? And then you began to climb the ladder. And then while climbing the ladder, somebody came and said, you don't really need this ladder to get up there. I will pull it and you will still be there. Even if I remove this ladder, don't worry. I will remove the ladder and you will still get up there. What will you do? What will you do? Won't you shout at him and say, if I stone you something, will you get out of there? Please leave me alone. You know why? You have put your weight on that ladder. You have put your trust on that ladder. You don't trust any other thing. Are you with me? You don't have any other option to get up there except for that ladder. If you, there is another option, then you don't really believe in the ladder. Are you following me? So to believe means you have put your whole trust, your whole conviction, your whole hope. Are you following what I'm saying? All your hope on how to be saved, all your trust on how to be saved, you must put it on this one whom God has ordained. That's what it means to believe. You must throw yourself at Christ. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God. Say after me, ordained of God. He's the one ordained of God. He's the one that loved me with an everlasting love. He's the one that died but did not stay dead. He was buried and he resurrected the third day and ascended into heaven, so that if anyone believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. Are you with me? He's the one ordained of God. Your good works cannot get you what he got you. Your own righteousness cannot get you what he got you. Are you with me? Your own morality cannot give you what he got you. Now, when we preach like this, some people think that we
we are advocating for lawlessness among Christians. No. The truth is, you cannot save yourself by your works. However, when you are saved, you will begin to produce good works. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, not before any man be in Christ. Are you following me? So good works is a fruit of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. We'll talk about that next week on assurance. How do you know you are saved? See, do you know we have to talk about these things? It is my opinion. We have too many counterfeits in church. There are some questions that when I got saved 20 years ago, no, 21 years ago. This is 2026, Abby. I got born again in 2005. There are questions that were alien. I don't understand how those questions came. Questions like, can a Christian lose his salvation? What if Jesus comes, if the rapture, if the trumpet blows and the Christian is committing fornication, will he still make it? Like I said during the whole night, why are you thinking about committing fornication when the trumpet is going to blow? You're not thinking about how you'll be defending the faith. How you will be a martyr for Jesus. You say, okay, what if a Christian now says, I am no longer doing? See, for you to think of, I am no longer doing, were you even doing in the first place? Did you hear what I just said? Were you even doing in the first place? Do you know what it is to be saved? You think it's just to come out and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my heart. I believe. No, even the way we do altar call now, read the Bible. That's not how they did altar call. Where it was not the church or the pastors that were telling people, if you want to give your life, come out. No. People saw and heard about Jesus and said, what must we do? It was the people that called. Like you can see this one now. I want to be saved. What must we do to be saved? Meaning they had come to a point when they had realized that there is no other way. There is no other way. Except me, no other way. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Acts 4 verse 12. You know what? Read from verse 11. It says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. He was talking about Jesus, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Are you with me? It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other. None other. You know, I've even explained to you, if you look at the prophetic pictures of salvation in the Old Testament, for instance, Noah's Ark, do you realize that it is counter-logical to say all the animals in the world should enter Noah's Ark and yet have one door? It's supposed to be many doors, right? But there is one door. That's a picture of salvation. It is only one way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Only one way, one door. Have you thrown yourself at Jesus? Have you believed in him with an unqualified committal? You know, people say things like, I go to church, but I don't carry Jesus on my head. I don't carry Jesus. I'm not that kind of Christian that carry Jesus on my head. When it's time for tradition, I know what to do. You see, I'm a traditional man. There's something the old saints used to call, have you received him as your personal Lord and Savior? It is when you have made him Lord that he can save you. It is when you have surrendered to his Lordship, he can save you. When you have come to the point where there is no other Lord, he is Lord amongst lords. Are you with me? He is King among kings. It is he who was ordained of God to be judge. When he becomes your Lord, you will carry out his bidding. When he becomes your Lord, you will go, are you with me? You will live your life for him. When he becomes your Lord, that time you are surrendering to believe in him, you know that you are surrendering your life to him. Are you with me? Are you with me? Ask your neighbor, have you really believed? Romans chapter 10. Why do I feel like I'm in a crusade? Because these are the kind of things I preach at crusades, Abby. Romans 10 verse 1. This one will touch you. What I want to show you now will touch you.
Thank you, Jesus. Romans 10, verse 1.
It says, brethren, my heart's desire. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So, these people he's talking about were not saved, right? Please, are you with me? They were not saved. Verse 2. Everybody read verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Hey. That means you can be religiously zealful and not saved. You can be an active churchgoer and you are not saved. I remember years ago, watching this movie, Mario Puzo's Godfather. some people here can remember that old movie. Michael Corleone was in church. They were doing baptism. He was in church. They were doing baptism like this. As they were doing baptism for his child, he was giving instructions that of people they should go and assassinate. He said, kill Don Lucchese Lucchese. Kill this one. He was in church. They were baptizing his child in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, you know, the Holy Ghost. And the priest was doing all the sacraments. Wait, let me see. Come, I hope I'm not too old now. What's that? Who knows the Godfather? Jesus, I'm old. Corleone was in church. They were doing baptism for his child. But he was giving instructions of people they should kill. Guess what? There are many Christians like that. Later in that movie, when he now wanted to be a serious believer, he now went to confess to the priest. And the priest brought out one of the pebbles from the pond and broke it. The stone had been inside the pond all its life. The priest broke it and said, this is Europe. Europe has been surrounded by religion, but Jesus has never entered. Because he broke the pebble and the inside was dry. He said, Europe has been surrounded by religion. Oh, for many, many years, many centuries, they have been surrounded by religion, but the Jesus they talk about is not inside them. Guess what? There are people like that. They have been surrounded by religion, but the Jesus has not entered. Look at Israel. He's saying, verse 2, I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Meaning, there is a body of knowledge about Jesus you must have and subscribe to for you to be saved. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So they were not saved. Verse 3. Everybody, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, so that means you can go about to establish your own righteousness. You know, we're going to do water baptism in December. And for the longest time, the reason why we did not do it is because some people replace salvation with baptismal certificate. Jesus said, I baptize you with water. John said, I baptize you with water. But he that is coming after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So if you like, enter water. If you don't have Holy Ghost, you are not saved according to Jesus. Please, are you with me? Has the Holy Ghost and fire entered your heart by surrendering to Jesus? They are going about establishing their own righteousness. If I cover my hair, if you don't cover your hair, cover your hair. Some people, they are covering their hair, but their heart is also covered. That's why some people have complained that, have you not seen people who, they will wear long skirts? I'm not saying don't dress modestly. Some people, you see, they wear long skirts. The skirt will long and reach like this, but it can be very wicked, eh? Have you not seen people complain, eh? After me, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 8 of Romans 10. But what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, say after me, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13. Everybody, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you really surrendered to Jesus as Lord? Have you really trusted in him? Have you put your whole trust, your whole hope in him? Or you are still trying to devise your own ways? For some of you, you don't need what I'm saying. Some of you, this is just a reminder of what you already know. But for many others, you need to be born again. You need to believe. You need to surrender to the Lord Jesus. And the proof, like we're going to talk about next week, it says, as they heard the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. When that surrender to Jesus and his lordship and his work is done, God that's what God sees and responds by giving you his spirit. All of a sudden, your heart is now open and awakened to the fatherhood of God, because the Holy Ghost now has been given to you. The Holy Ghost begins to stir you to respond to God. The Holy Ghost begins to stir you to love God, to be interested in the things of God, to be concerned about the things of God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 12 to 13. This is the last text. And a round off and move into dedication service. Hooray! Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 12 to 13. Somebody is wondering, this church, they like Bible too much. You like Bible. This church. If you don't like Bible, why are we a church? Why are we a church now? Ephesians 1 verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Who did what? Read it with a loud voice. That we should be to the praise of the glory. Who did what? Who first trusted in Christ? Verse 13. Whom ye also trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit. You know what? Everybody read verse 13. For a man to be saved, the most important thing is, what have you trusted? What have you believed? What do you trust? What do you trust will give you access to eternal life? Let me tell you why this is important. Have you seen that text of the Bible in Matthew 5 verse 20 that says, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven? Have you seen that text before? Have you seen this text before? This is Jesus talking. He's saying, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The question is, do you know who the scribes and the Pharisees were? They were the strictest sect of the law. These were people who, they were so morally pious and morally excellent that if they wanted to write the name of God, they will wash their hand before they write the name of God. And after they write the name of God, they will wash their hand again. And Jesus is telling you that if your righteousness does not exceed this, heaven, Otilo, you can't enter. So guess what? If you must be this perfect to enter, who is going to heaven? Who is going? If all of us must be this perfect to enter, nobody's going. But guess what? Jesus was righteousness for you. He is the only one going to heaven. Only Jesus has the access code to enter. So, but in him we can enter. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you getting this? Until a man trusts in him, you cannot enter. You cannot go out with your own face, try and brag about what you can do and what you have done. No, no, no. You have to be in him. You have to trust in him, because he's the one ordained of God. Are you with me? If you are here, you know what? Let's bow our heads. If you are here and you are not born again, if you are here and you have not surrendered to Jesus with an unqualified committal, if you have not surrendered, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Please, every other person, bow your heads down. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Take what I'm saying very serious. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. And you rose up from the grave. And you rose up from the grave to give me life. I trust in you. I trust in you alone for salvation. I admit I am a sinner in need of help. And I look to you for forgiveness. Save me. Make me yours. Now and forever. Amen. If you pray that prayer, surrendering your life to Jesus, after this service, you know what? Let's do it now.